We are studying in here on Sunday mornings from Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to continue that study. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus records what we speak of as a model prayer, where that the disciples have asked him about praying, and he tells them that they should pray after this manner. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us not our debts, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We've been studying through the various phrases in this, and we're down to verse number 13 this morning, where the petition that he teaches us to pray there is, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, this is a model prayer, as we've said before. It contains topics for which we should pray. He gives us ideas about things that we should pray for. It serves sort of as an outline of things that are important for us to pray about and to pray for. And so, in this one this morning, we see in verse 13, he's talking about temptation. Do not lead us into temptation is the request, and deliver us from the evil, or deliver us from evil, or from the evil one. You'll find most of the translations put it there, from the evil one. Now, several questions come to my mind as I consider the lesson on this topic. One question comes to my mind is, of course, do we pray this petition? Do you pray this petition? Do you pray that the Lord would not lead you into temptation and that he would deliver you from the evil one? Another question comes to my mind. Does God lead us into temptation? He says we should pray that he shouldn't. Does God lead us into temptation? Do not the scriptures say that God does not tempt us? Another question is, can we expect God to keep us from being tempted? If we pray that not lead us into temptation, then should we expect God to keep us from being tempted at all times? Well, as we begin to address what the meaning of this passage is, would you bow with me in prayer before we continue on? Our loving Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We do recognize, Father, thy greatness and power and honor and majesty. We recognize the fact that you are our creator and we are thy children. You have created us. We recognize that you sustain and uphold our lives and that we depend upon thee for all things. We are mindful, Father, of thy kingdom, and we ask that it will rule in our hearts. We are mindful, Father, of the need for the forgiveness of our sins. And we do seek, Father, that you will forgive us and bless us that we might forgive others. And we do pray, Father, as we consider this topic this morning, that you will not lead us into temptation, but that we be delivered from the evil one. We pray that as we study, we might understand thy word. Father, we're so thankful for thy word. We praise your name for the guidance that it gives to us, for the life that it gives to us, for the hope, for the faith that it gives unto us. Father, help us to always recognize the importance of thy words and help us to feed upon it. Forgive us now of our sins. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. What is temptation? Maybe that's the place we ought to begin at the beginning there. What is temptation? Well, I think we have to define it as being inducement to do evil or enticement to do evil. Right in the very first pages of the Bible, we find temptation. As Satan uses the serpent and comes to Eve, and he says to Eve, as God said, you should not eat of this particular tree. Are you to eat of all the trees in the garden? And Eve said, well, there's one tree we're not to eat of, not to touch it, lest we die. And Satan said, you'll not die. But God knows that whenever you eat of this tree, your eyes are going to be opened. You're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. And the record says in Genesis 3 and verse 6 that whenever Eve saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye, desirable to make one wise, she partook of it and gave also to her husband. She fell to the temptation. Satan tempted her by first saying that God had lied to her, by taking away the penalty if she disobeyed, and suggesting the idea, you know, it might be good to eat of this because you're going to become wise like God. Temptation is like a trap, a snare. In several places in scriptures, it's spoken of as the snare of the devil, snare of Satan. And he was setting a trap for Eve, trying to get her to think about the possibility that what God said may not be the whole picture, may not be the whole truth. And so she listened to him. And that thought entered into her mind that it was good for food. And she could see it with her eyes. It was desirable, that looked pleasant to the eyes, and it might make us wise. Maybe it would perhaps give them a larger and a freer life, a better life, to be wise like God. Maybe God was keeping something from us. Maybe it is something desirable. And so she fell into the trap. Temptation is the setting of a trap or a snare. 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 9, Paul wrote, those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's a snare. The love of money is a temptation. Leads many people into that type of a snare. Satan set a trap, attempting to lead Eve into it. He set a trap, attempting to lead Jesus into it also. When Jesus was up on the earth, remember he said to him after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. You're so hungry. You have the power. You are the Son of God. Look who you are. Why should you go hungry? There's some stones. Just turn them into bread and you can eat. If you are the Son of God. But Jesus didn't fall into that trap. He couldn't be tempted in that way. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. He took him up on the pinnacle of the temple, and there he's going to set another trap for him. If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it's written, he'll give his angels charge concerning thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And again, Jesus would not fall into his trap. Again, you know, look who you are. You're the Son of God. You're God's son. He'll take care of you. Just cast yourself down and test him. Prove him. But he didn't fall into that trap. Then he showed him all the kingdoms of the world, setting another trap for him. Look at their beauty. Look at the power you'd have. Look at all the things you could enjoy. All you could fulfill all the lusts of the flesh. You could rule with power and glory and honor from all people. So rich. Never been anyone so rich as you are. Just fall down and worship me. You can have them all. But again, Jesus did not fall into the trap and said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. His traps did not work. It is a trap. It makes use of deception, of lies, of half-truths, even the twisting of the scriptures as he did there with Jesus. That's temptation. How does temptation come? Well, I think we can already see from these that it originates with Satan. He's the tempter. in Eve's case, in the case of Jesus. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 3, the record says there that the tempter came to him. And talking about coming to Jesus to tempt him after he'd fasted 40 days. The tempter came to him. He is the tempter. Revelation 12 and verse number 9 speaks of him as the deceiver of the whole world. He deceives, he tempts, he sets a trap. He's out to try to destroy each and every person. He wants all of us to follow him in rebellion against God and against the Lord Jesus Christ. So temptation originates with him. But Satan's traps, his inducements to sin, are external, outside of man's heart and mind. They're outside of your heart and mind. They're outside of my heart and mind. And he would not be able to accomplish anything. He would not be able to lead us into sin. And his temptations would be meaningless without there being evil desire inside of the one being tempted. Eve fell to those temptations because she had those evil desires within her. Maybe to be like God. To enjoy that which was forbidden. To eat that beautiful fruit there which appealed to the eye. When we fall to temptation and Satan's able to set a trap and we walk into it thinking we're going to have such pleasure and enjoyment, it's because we have that evil desire. Those that are rich, they fall into a temptation, into a snare, because they have that evil desire of love of money, maybe covetousness. And Satan's trials, temptations, wouldn't have any effect upon us unless we had that desire or those lusts within us. James 1 and verse number 14 says, each one is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desires and enticed. And that's the way he does it. In Jesus Christ, there was no evil desire. So the traps and enticements did not work in his case. Satan used visual sight to tempt Jesus in placing the kingdoms of the world before him. He uses the same methods to try to trap us as he did with Jesus Christ. He feeds desires into the desires of our flesh. He feeds those. He causes us to think about those things, giving us thoughts through books and magazines, TV, movies, people talking to us. He uses people to feed thoughts of evil desires, thoughts of riches, immoral sexual desires, thoughts of power and pride, thoughts of social recognition, those things that appeal to the flesh. He'll say, come on, those will be great. You know, you'll enjoy it so much. He sets the trap for us and takes away the penalty. You're not going to suffer and you're not going to burn in the fires of hell because of this type of thing. Don't believe God. Just live it up. And he sets the trap. Temptation does not come from God. James 1 and verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and neither does he tempt anyone. But each man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Nothing can be a temptation to God. He has no evil passion. He has no want of power. He has no want of wealth. He has no want of happiness or peace. So nothing can be a temptation to him. And he does not tempt us. But does God lead us into temptation? There's a difference between God tempting us and maybe leading us into temptation. Does he lead us into temptation? Well, Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 1. There we read in reference to the temptation of Jesus Christ. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. In this case, God certainly led Jesus into this temptation. He doesn't do the tempting. But he allowed, or he permitted, he made it possible, however you want to say it, so that Jesus Christ was tempted. In Luke chapter 22 and verse number 21, we read where that Jesus told Peter, he says, Satan has asked to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. Evidently, God has it within his power to allow us to be tempted or not to be tempted. Satan come to God in the case of Job. You remember reading Job, the first chapter, verses 8 through 10. God says to Satan, says, have you considered my servant Job? He's upright. There's none greater than him. Blameless in his generation. Satan says, well, God, you've built a hedge around him. You've protected him in and his family and his possessions in on every side, and nothing can touch him. Maybe that's what we should pray for. We talk about praying that God not lead us into temptation, that he do like he did Job, build that hedge around us. Protect us from all evil and temptation and sin from Satan. Satan says, you'll give him to me a while and he'll curse you to his face. And God said, you can have him, but you're not to take his life. And Satan used every shot that he had, every weapon in his arsenal, and Job stood, didn't he? We need to pray that God not lead us into temptation, that he protect us. The endurance of temptation and trial might make us stronger, develop our faith. But not only should we pray that we not be led into temptation, but this says we should pray for deliverance from the evil, or from deliverance from the evil, the king, the Greek literally says. And most translators now translate that from the evil one. I think this is probably talking about, don't lead us into temptation. Don't give us over to Satan to be tempted, and deliver us from the evil one, from Satan. Deliver us from him and his temptations. This is what that prayer is about. Don't let Satan have control over us. Who is the source of temptation? Satan. Deliver us from the one who has the source, the power of temptation there. Some people come under Satan's control. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 26 speaks about some who had fallen into the snare of the devil and have been taken captive by him to do his will. Don't let Satan tempt you into doing that which you know is wrong. Don't give yourself over to be controlled by Satan. And that's what we should pray, that we not fall into his temptation and that he not have control over us. Will God keep us from all temptation? Anyone who's a student of the scriptures in any measure at all knows that everyone is tempted. Even Jesus Christ was tempted. Hebrews 4 and verse 15 says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He will not keep us from every temptation. And we should not expect that. But we will be tempted. But we must pray that we will not be led into temptation. That we will not allow Satan, or he will not allow Satan to tempt us, to ensnare us, and to gain control over us. How does God deliver us from Satan's temptations? Well, of course, he just uses his providence, his overruling power over nature to do that. He overrules all things for the good of those that love the Lord, who are called according to his power, Romans 8 and verse 28. By his providence, he keeps us from being tempted above that which we're able to bear. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 13 said, God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted above that which we're able to bear, but will with each temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. He delivers us also by providing that way of escape. Jesus overcame his temptations by the word. Each time he answered with the word of God. We need to lay up the word of God in our hearts so that we will not sin against him. We overcome by faith. 1 Peter 1, verse 8 and 9. Now, this verse really pertains to what we're talking about. It says to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he might devour, looking for someone to tempt, to get into his temptations. As a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he might devour, whom resist, he says, steadfast in your faith. Excuse me. We resist him. We do that by being steadfast in the faith. Our faith helps us to overcome him. 1 Peter 1, verse 5 speaks about those who are kept by the power of God through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last day. Kept by the power of God through our faith. Our faith in God, our trust in him, so that we believe him instead of believing Satan's lies and half-truths and deceptions, will keep us from succumbing to temptation. And then by watchfulness and prayer. Several times we're told to pray that we enter not into temptation. In Matthew chapter, or rather look at Luke 22, verse 44 and verse 46. There we have the scene of Jesus as he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane before he is betrayed by Satan, betrayed by Judas, who entered into the heart of Satan. Entered the heart of Satan. Maybe I'll just give up on that one. As he was betrayed by Judas after Satan had entered into his heart. Jesus had been praying in the garden. The disciples went to sleep. He returned and found them sleeping. He told them, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. He was about to be taken captive, be crucified. Peter was about to be accused when he denied him, you know, three times. Peter was about to be accused of being his follower. They were about to be accused of being his followers. They were in fear of their lives. They were going to be put through a time of testing and trial and temptation when Jesus was taken and crucified. He told them, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And then whenever he came back from his praying and found them all asleep, again in Luke 22 and verse 46, he told them, pray that you enter not into temptation. He knew there was going to be a great time of testing and trial and temptation for them in days ahead. Pray that you enter not into temptation. How many of us pray this prayer? Have you ever prayed that you might not be led into temptation, that you'd be delivered from the evil one? In this model prayer of Jesus here, there are three prayers for ourselves. One is concerning our daily need, our daily bread. A second one is concerning the past and the present, forgive us of our debts as we forgive others. And there's this one here, which looks to the future. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. As we look to the future, as you look to the future, what's the one thing that you would pray about? As you look to the future, what's the one thing you fear? Is it sickness or poor health? Some of you who are growing older might think about sickness or poor health. Some might fear poverty. Some might fear old age or death. Some of us might fear unpopularity or criticism of others. There's many fears, many things we might think about in the future. But Jesus gave us an example here of one thing. One thing above all else that we should be concerned about for our future. One thing above all else. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one. There's one thing you and I ought to be concerned about for our future. That we don't fall to one of Satan's traps. that we don't lose our eternal salvation. It's not about how we're going to die. It's not about some virus that's broken out in some distant country of Africa. Should that be our fear? Should our fear be of bombing or terrorism in our own country? There's one thing. One thing above all else that we should be concerned about. That we don't lose our eternal soul salvation. That thing above all else we better be praying about. That we not be led into temptation, and that Satan doesn't gain control of us. But you know, we're not very much afraid of temptation, are we? I'm afraid most of us make temptation our constant companion. Often we seek out association and contact with things which tempt us. Often the person who loves money likes to read books about how to become rich, how to be a better businessman, how to make a better profit. Often the person who is an alcoholic likes to drive by the bar or the liquor store where he buys his drink. He ought to avoid that place like the plague. And even if it was a mile further to get home, he ought to go a different route than to go by that place that might give him a temptation. And if money and loving to be rich and covetous is my problem, then I better try to avoid it. Anything that might feed my thoughts about it. One who's tempted to lust many times will seek out racy TV TV programs and movies and etc., pornography, and feed their thoughts on those things. We're playing with emotional dynamite when we do that. When we read books, watch TV, or any other thing that puts into our minds thoughts of lust or wickedness or greed, we're just opening the door. And there's a lion standing out there. Satan himself. And we think, come in. Come in. If somebody was to stand there and ask us for a dime, we might have a pocket full of dimes. But we'd think twice about giving him a dime. But when Satan himself stands there inviting us into some lust of the flesh or something we find pleasurable, and he asks for our souls, we invite him in. The lion himself. How many of us pray this prayer? Lead us not into temptation. When we seek pleasure, when we seek the exciting of our physical senses, we're inviting Satan in. 2 Peter 2, verse 9 says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. The psalmist prayed in Psalm 141 and verse 4, incline not my heart to any evil thing. That should be our prayer. Our desire must never to be to fall into temptation. A Yankee one time applied for a job as being the pilot on a boat on the Mississippi River. A Yankee, can you imagine? He applied for the job. He was long and lean. He said, well, now if my physical appearance and my stature is all right, he says, I believe I can do the job. And the interviewer says, well, I'm not worried about your physical appearance or your stature or anything. He says, but do you know where the snags are in the river? He says, well, he says, what do you mean by snags? He says, why is that so important? He says, well, you got to know where the snags are in the river. You're liable to take the boat into the snags, running aground or something. He says, well, no. He says, I really don't know where those are. But he says, I know where they are not. And I believe that that's where I would sail the boat. You know, we know when it comes to temptation, we know what's right. We know the way to go. We know the way to eternal life. We don't need to know where all the temptations and the evil is and all the things that will lead us astray. We need to just stay on the straight and narrow and take that path that we know there will not be any temptations in that path. That's what we all would want to do, right? I trust we'll all pray this prayer more than we ever have before. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. If you need to respond to the invitation and obey the gospel this morning, if you're not a Christian, if you've not turned your back on temptation, if you've not prayed this prayer and you've fallen into temptation, won't you respond this morning? While we stand up, while we sing, will you not come?